This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It is a 7:44 this morning's Israel report, brought to you by Lieutenant Colonel Morris Hirsch from the Jerusalem Center. A very good morning. Thank you for joining us today. I'm hoping that you are well. A couple of things that we wanted to talk about this morning, and one of them, let's just to start, is the reservist mobilization as Israel plans to intensify the attack on Gaza City. Tell us where this is at.
So, yes, so good morning, Howard. Good morning to all the listeners. We're talking about a new mobilization of about 60,000 reservists that are coming in. They're going to be spread out over the different areas all around Israel. Not all of them will go directly into the Gaza Strip, but some of them will replace other soldiers on the Lebanon border in Jordan and Samaria, and that will free up the regular forces to go into Gaza. What we're talking about is Israeli launching this final assault on Gaza City, which is still one of the main strongholds of Hamas. It's an area that we understand is heavily fortified, is going to be quite an operational challenge. And I think the idea is to just go in with overwhelming force to ensure that our troops are, on the one hand, protected, and on the other hand, we achieve our operational goals.
How significant is the reservists' role in this particular operation, or any for that matter?
Well, so the reservists are a major part of the IDF. They're the ones who really carry the burden of most of the war. They are the ones who are school teachers, bank managers, tellers, postmen, builders in their normal day life. And then suddenly they get this call to reserve duty, and suddenly they just become superheroes, and they are the ones who have to a great extent won this war for Israel. They are the ones who have left their families and gone to fight, going sometimes 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 days at a time, and sometimes over the period there are reservists who have already done over 600 days of reserve duty, which is almost the entire period, really, since October 7. So that's really the contribution of the reservists. It cannot be understated on all of the different fronts, whether it be the Lebanese border in Judean Samaria, Gaza. They are active everywhere. And what we've seen in Israel, it's just an unbelievable thing to see, that in the same way as we saw Jews coming back from around the world to come and fight, in a normal situation, people run away from a war. Jews came back to Israel to come and fight as part of the war. And as part of the war that's going on now, we've seen a massive drive for reservists to volunteer. People over the age of reserve duty, they finished reserve duty in some cases 10 and 15 years ago, and they've gone and volunteered again. And the army has made certain frameworks for them to serve, obviously not on the front lines, but really doing substantial jobs. And so that's really the spirit of, I think, understanding of Israel's population, just how important the reserve duty is. And the IDF's really appreciation of everyone who wants to come and volunteer.
The Gaza City initiative or operation, do we have any sense of when that is going to begin in earnest and how long it is anticipated to go on for?
So if you remember originally, the army was talking about 3 to 4 months to prepare all of the different soldiers, all of the different units to evacuate the population to the extent that they could. And that would take us somewhere into late November, December. And I think that was much of the discussion. I would be, if I was to advise Hamas, I would say be prepared almost immediately, because this isn't something that's going to take so long. The President Trump is calling for a speedy end to this war. The IDF understands that. There will be no more public statements, obviously, but I believe that the assault on Gaza Strip will start much sooner than was originally discussed.
How do the Jewish holidays fit into all of this? When the IDF is planning, does it take that into account, or does it look at the calendar as a blank sheet?
Without question, the IDF takes the holidays into account to the extent that it is possible. Really, our enemies, and we've seen from history, if you go back to the Yom Kippur War in 1973, it starts on a Jewish holiday, not by coincidence. The bombing in the Park Hotel in 2002, the night of the Seder, the October 7 massacre on Shabbat at Simchat Torah. We know that our enemies understand our holidays and use them against us. But as the Jewish army, even while there are obviously tremendous leniencies for soldiers during the holidays, it's something which is certainly taken into account. That's what makes us a Jewish country. What makes us a Jewish army. And so obviously you have fighting going on, and people have phones, and people have guns, and people are moving forward in tanks. But I think that there is a general preparation for the holidays, and I'm sure that there will be special food taken in, even into the Gaza Strip, as there has been until now. And there will be obviously prayers for those who want, even in the Gaza Strip.
Unbelievable. Let's talk about, because this week there's been a lot of focus on this so-called genocide report. There's Israel, of course, continues to face accusations of a genocide at international forums, despite evidence, but yet somehow the reports keep coming. Let's talk about this. What is the latest with the claims of genocide?
So what is genocide? Firstly, it's the intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, religious a group. And that's what we're talking about. They're saying that Israel has this intention to destroy the Palestinians. Now, I don't say this lightly either, Howard. Take a potato, put it in a microwave, push the pizza button. When you open the door at the end, it's still a potato, right? They can call this event whatever it is. They can call it a genocide, but let's look at the facts. Genocide in the World War II, 6 million Jews murdered, butchered, gassed, many of them in the last 2 years of the war. When you look at Rwanda, we're talking about a period of just about over a month, and we're talking about 900,000 people butchered and murdered and slaughtered. Now take Israel and the war with Gaza. In even if we accept the false numbers of Hamas, 3,000 deaths over a 2 year period, Israel has dropped more bombs on Gaza, just bombs from the air, than people dead. Never mind the hundreds of thousands of forces operating on the ground, the tanks, the infantrymen, everything else. According to the UN, there has been 150,000 births in the Gaza Strip, right? This is the only genocide in the world where the population has actually grown, right? It's the only genocide in the world where the number of people...
And not only that, and of course... Everything could end with the release of the hostages. So if it's so bad, if it is such a horrific situation, release the hostages, the innocent people who are being held under torturous conditions, and it ends. That doesn't feel like a genocide.
I have a better idea for you, Howard. If there's a genocide going on in Gaza, the Jews are wantonly murdering the Palestinians in Gaza, maybe ask Egypt to give them refuge. Maybe ask Egypt to let them out. Maybe President Macron would take a few Gazans into France, or Keir Starmer. And maybe South Africa would take it. I don't wish them upon you, but maybe South Africa, with its genocide claim, will take a few Gazans, like a few hundred thousand, to save them from the genocide. These people are just ridiculous. Their moral compass is to vilify the Jews, and on the assumption that everyone around them is literally stupid, and they will buy any garbage that they're sold. If there is a genocide going on in Gaza, why is no one pushing Egypt to open the border? Let them out. But no one cares, because it's just words that you bandy around. These expert scholars who are part of this genocide group are simply undermining their own validity, their own credibility. They're taking a term which really should have a sanctified meaning, and politicizing it and weaponizing it against Israel. There is no other situation in the world that they would define as genocide in these circumstances. And therefore, the only conclusion can be that this is a political statement, another one of these list of political statements, rather than any true evaluation or honest assessment of the situation.
So what steps is Israel taking, or what steps should Israel take to counter this misinformation at the United Nations, as well as the global media?
So in the United Nations, I am a firm believer that we have nothing to do there. We should leave the United Nations. There's no point in combating anything in the United Nations. It is a group of Jew haters. They will not change ever. They're about to celebrate 50 years of the Zionism is racism resolution. As Abba Eben said, if Algeria were to propose a resolution that the world is flat and the Jews flattened it, it would pass with an overwhelming majority. In the UN, we have nothing to do. We have nothing to do. What we do need to do, however, is to explain to the world, this is the what's going on. This is the war that we're conducting. These are the people we're targeting. This is the failures of the numbers that you're being presented with and you're being shown by Hamas. These are the people who are supporting that false narrative and that libel. This is the precautions that we're taking in war, and basically carry on doing many of the things that we're doing, not to appease them, but for our own soul. Some of the things we have to improve. For example, when the whole famine and starvation libel came out, we suddenly knew to say that there are 900 truckloads of aid waiting in the Gaza Strip for the UN to distribute. We should have been saying that before. Where is the UN when there were 5 truckloads waiting? Call them out every single day. Call them out for their hypocrisy. Call them out for their support of terror. Every single day, not wait until there's pictures of babies on the front page of the New York Times to discover, well, Israel has actually facilitated the exit of sick Gazan children to receive medical treatment in Italy. There are all these things that we are doing, but we're just not saying and not telling anyone about. And that policy needs to change.
Yeah, it really is, because you've got to get in front of it. If you don't get in front of it, unfortunately, what happens is what's happening. And in terms of, we don't have a lot of time, we've only got really a minute and a half, but the push towards a Palestinian state, the announcements thereof and the increased announcements, would you categorize that simply in what you've spoken about as just the words when you refer to the genocide story?
Well, so absolutely. There's absolutely no value whatsoever to the recognition of the non-existent state of Palestine. Their recognition will do nothing practically on the ground. And on the other hand, it is a direct reward for terrorism. It's a direct response to October 7, Hamas saying, if we murder lots of Jews, we will get a state. And that's exactly what Stammer and Macron and all of these other useful idiots, unfortunately, are playing into. That's what we have. There's 147 countries that recognize the state of Palestine. 100 of them recognized Palestine in 1988 when Yasser Arafat declared Palestinian independence. It's just the UN in general is just a joke, and a very pathetic and sad and expensive joke, but nonetheless just a joke.
That is all we have time for, Lieutenant Colonel Maurice Hirsch. Thank you, as always. Some very, very strong thoughts and feelings there as well, backed up by the facts on the ground. Give me your thoughts, 0618951019. It's 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.